Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. Morning on day 3 at TCR number 10, and many of our riders have now left Germany and are making their way across Austria and into the Alps. For those at the front of the race, sights are set on northern Slovenia and the first control point. In fact, one rider has already arrived, got their brevet card stamped, and moved swiftly onwards. Race reporter Emma Cole.
Overnight, Robin Gampala made it to control point one, the first person to do so in this TCR, and he is now on his way riding through Slovenia, likely with his sights set on Croatia. So behind him, the chasing pack, which includes Christoph Strasser, Omer De Felice, Andre Backman, and Abdullah Zainab, and also Pavel Polowalski, who has had a really brilliant overnight ride and has really caught up with that leading pack. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. They're on the parkour heading towards the control point.
Another rider to have made a brilliant start to TCR number 10 is Victor Bassoni, Cap 232. Until now, he's been part of the leading group and very much in contention. However, when our team catch up with Victor early morning, it's clear that something's gone very wrong.
I made a big mistake yesterday. I lost my passport and my CB, my card. The only solution is to go 300 kilometers back.
It's a big diversion. It's a big diversion.
My race is ending, but it's an adventure. It's another adventure now, and I just want to be at the finisher party in Istanbul, and I'm so disappointed, but I'm still learning. I want to improve my experience, and it's the life.
It's Regan Arenzi. I'm cap number 14, and I am desperately trying to get to CP1. I think I've got less than, I think it's going to be like 40 hours, and I've got, I think about 300 and some odd or 400 k's to go. So it's going to be a tight squeeze.
Are you looking forward to hitting the Alps where you can get off the bike paths and just have easier navigation once the roads thin out?
Absolutely. I think maybe Eastern Europe might be a little bit easier. But yeah, Germany has just been a lot more technical than I expected, you know, especially having to follow all the bike paths through the fields and through the cities. It's really a lot more technical than I expected.
And where are you from? Where's your home?
I'm originally South African, but I live in Canada, so I'm not Canadian.
How many times have you been to Europe? Is this new to you, or are you familiar with the roads?
I've just done like Paris, Brest, Paris, and you know, lots of vacations, but I've never actually had to navigate my way around Europe on a bicycle. So this is definitely quite new for me.
Joanna Kessenheimer, cap number 10, is still the fastest woman in the race so far, followed by Jamie Wilson, cap number 4. Race reporter Emma is hoping to catch up with Joanna to see how she feels her race is going.
We are just in the Gale Valley on a bike path along the Gale River, just waiting for Joanna Kessenheimer to come along. This is her local area, so she knows these routes very well. And it's really interesting that most riders have gone along the main road, but Joanna has decided to take this little bike path, and she's zooming along at the moment as it is very flat, before she then tucks round and heads towards the parkour. So we're hoping to catch her. Hey Joanna, how are you?
Good.
How's your first TCR going?
So the first day were pretty smooth so far, but today, like, I had so much problem solving to do. So my USB charger of the Dynamo Hub broke. then I run out of power for the navigation. And then today, in the morning, I went to a bakery just to have like 20 minutes of charging to like sort everything out. Then I went to a shop where I bought another power bank, like a big one. And I realized it is only like 20% charged. But now, like I have a backup navigation and I can navigate now. And I even like allow myself to listen to some music now because it was just like I got really stressed. But now I think it's going well again and the body's good, so yeah. Gonna sort this power thing out as well.
Jana is not the only rider who will have experienced both the highs and lows of the race already. Cycling 4,000 kilometers across a continent, you need a little luck and plenty of resilience. Hannah Lobelestier, race reporter in Control Car 2, spoke to Chaz Christensen, Cap 169.
What keeps you going when you're going through those low moments?
Haribos. Shout out to Haribos, obviously. I think that's for everybody. A little bit of music, and then honestly, just thinking about how lucky we are to be out here. Like, this is a crazy thing everyone's doing, and like, every time you're like, man, this really sucks, you're like, wait, this is like absolutely fantastic. And sometimes you just, it gets dark and you cry a little bit and you're like, cool, that was good, get it all out, and then, you know, crack on.
Wait, are you marking up your helmet?
Yeah, I've done it the last, every year I do a TCR, I do the helmet, and I do the mileage and the distance for each day on the helmet, so hopefully by the end, it like wraps all the way around and it's like a cool thing. It smells really bad, but it's like a really cool thing to have, like, when you're done, to see like the route, basically, and how much you've done and everything like that.
So for listeners, there's some little illustrations on the back of the helmet that Chaz is making day by day with his mileage and his elevation gain.
Yeah, I used to do the cities, but the spelling's just too hard and it takes up too much time and space and everything, so now I just do the day and the mileage.
I'm impressed you find the time to do this every day.
I think like that's the whole thing. You gotta take this seriously, but at the same time you gotta take your time and like enjoy stuff. And you know, I always sit down and have a beer at some point, and like, you know, you got to take some time for yourself out here.
Fadi Arre, Cap 161.
It was, I took like a special route yesterday, or like the one I designed. It's very unique and I was alone. It's very boring. It was like holiday and I don't want it. I want to race. So it's like, I stop even sometimes to take pictures and I feel like, no, I'm racing. So it's crazy. So today I get back to the mood. I'm very happy to see some people to chase or like, yeah.
And can you set the scene for me at the moment? Can you tell us where we are?
Yeah, we are entering, I guess, soon to Austria. I guess we're still in Germany, the Alps. So
what's the scenery like around us?
Well, it's very magnificent. It's beautiful mountains. Yeah, I really enjoy it. Even like the rivers, it's beautiful. Now I'm enjoying the scene more than ride at the moment. Both, I guess. But yeah, I really enjoy every second. It's very beautiful here.
While many riders plan their TCR route with precision, others prefer to take a slightly more loose approach. And that flexibility can sometimes come in handy. Although not always. Jessica Wood, Cap 113.
I'm just having a flap about where I'm going over. I don't know where I'm passing over the Alps because I didn't do my route planning properly.
Have you worked it out yet?
No, I'm literally on Wikipedia now, Googling Alp mountain crosses because someone's just said that there's ones timed.
Ah, I see. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
No, because okay. I'm trying to find it. I hope to tell you in a few minutes. We've got the name, finally.
Where are we?
I don't know where we are.
What's the name?
Grossglockner. I don't know if my route goes over it, so I'm potentially having this faff for 10 minutes to be like, oh, don't go over it.
Any idea how long you'll take to get over it?
Oh, no. I just like riding my bike.
The Grossglockner Pass is named after Austria's highest mountain and has an elevation of more than 2,500 meters. There are stunning panoramic views for those riders who choose to take it on, but it's a formidable climb for them too. Moik Kohli, Cap 128.
Yeah, we're at the base, or sort of, the second base of Grossglockner. Grossglockner. It's about 18.5 kilometers with about 8% gradient. For the first half of this climb, it's going to be around 10%. That means a lot of time off the saddle. That means I can basically undo the jersey a bit. Yeah. Other than that, yeah, once we're done with this, then it's a lovely descent all the way down into the valley. And I think it's about 150 odd K from there.
How are you feeling about the climb coming up?
Not bad, it's fine. I did that a few weeks ago. Well, unfortunately, I was a lot more fresh than I am now. But yeah, we'll take this head on and see how it goes.
You seem much more chilled about it than a lot of other people. I think a lot of other people have had nervous anticipation for Grossglockner.
Oh, no, it's fine. Well, since it's there, we'll climb it.
Bernard Camera, Cap 207.
How are you enjoying Grossglockner?
I don't know if it's the best idea, boss. But it's okay. It's okay. The weather is good. If the sun would shine, I think it would be terrible. But so it's good. And hopefully there's the first top. And so I should make it. That's the plan.
How's the rest of your ride game going?
Quite well so far. Some problems with the knees, with the back, with the hands. But nothing I cannot handle right now. And I had my personal plan, and I'm exactly on that plan, so I'm, even if I do not look so at the moment, very happy. To be honest, the most important thing for me is to reach Istanbul, stay healthy, do not crash or anything else. And the plan is to take it easy the first days, stay a bit ahead of my schedule, and if it should happen that in the end, in the last third of the race, there should be some energy left, perhaps I would push a bit more then, but right now, just keep going to Istanbul.
Matthew Lay, Cap 217.
How are you finding Grossglockner so far?
Bull.
Bull?
Bull.
What does that mean? Beautiful?
Beautiful.
Okay, wasn't sure if that was going to be some other slang word for
no.
Something terrible.
No, just I've lived in France for 17 years, so. Sometimes that comes out first.
And what's been your highlight of the race so far?
I've probably got more low lights than highlights, actually.
Oh, how come?
I burst my mattress. I broke my portable battery this morning, so I had to find a new one. What else happened? It was a massive detour. Okay. Probably a 10K detour with about maybe 300 meters of dénivelé, so that was a bit frustrating. Oh. But those are the stories, aren't they? So the highlights will come afterwards when I think about it.
Control Car 2 have just spent the afternoon on Grossglockner Pass, catching some riders as they head over here towards CP1 in Slovenia. So this will be the highest point, probably, that any of the riders pass on the race, unless they're taking a very unusual route. It's a pretty infamous climb, and for about 17k it's just very consistently steep, averaging about 10% and climbing up to about 2,500 meters. So a lot of riders have been telling us how tough it's been, and some of them have been remarkably fresh and enjoying it, but a consistent theme seems to be that they're happy to have reached the Alps and to be enjoying the incredible views here. It's been really cloudy, but we've had these beautiful patches of light kind of breaking through the clouds and hitting the mountains, and these clouds like flowing over the tops. So it's really, really atmospheric up here, and the scenery is just incredible. I think we're all very happy to be here. I think another theme that we've seen is a lot of riders really struggling with navigation through Germany, just because of the high density of bike paths that they've and roads that they've been navigating. And so to finally get to some long alpine climbs where you don't have to worry about missing turns is quite a relief for a lot of them.
As the afternoon slowly turns into evening, our team of brilliant volunteers at Control Point 1 are seeing more and more riders pass through. One of those volunteers is Lutsakiri.
Yeah, so it's been great so far. So we had Robin early in the morning, 2 a.m. So all of us were here and waited for him to arrive. And it was great that the race started here as well. So yeah, and during the day we had like 15 or 20 riders all together with some gaps in between. So yeah, it was a bit relaxed, but in the next few days, I guess it will be busy because they are packed. So yeah, we have to be here all the time and do the shifts.
And why do you volunteer at the TCR?
Yeah, so it's a different world. And I really like this world. You can get in touch with the riders. They are not like the professionals. And it's always a nice place where the CP is located. So yeah, I really like the atmosphere, and it's always a nice experience to be here.
Adrian Lichty, cap number 7, is riding the TCR, having put in a fantastic second position performance at the Accursed race in May. He tried to take on the Grossglockner Pass late yesterday, only to find it closed for the night.
I just climbed the pass and I saw the sign on the side of the road. It was 10:30 and they closed the climb at 8:15. So I had a long sleep and I found a camping with some toilet, everything. So it was not so bad. But this morning it was so bad, so cold, really cold. Yes, 5 or 6 degrees at the top, rainy, and yeah, this pass, you think you are at the top and then it's a downhill and then another climb. So I came down off the pass and I stopped in a cafe during 30 minutes and it was so cold. But I'm here, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. And now what's your plan?
My plan just to ride.
As day 3 comes to an end of the Transcontinental Race, race director David Eyre shares a summary of where things stand.
We have passed on from CP1 now, so we have a leading group of riders now pushing past Slovenia through Croatia. There's a chasing pack of 7 or so riders coming through Croatia to chase Robin and Abdullah at the moment. Robin has a considerable gap at the front as things stand, and Abdullah is starting to open up a gap on those behind him as well, which means that similar to last year, we have a front 2 starting to emerge as we approach this point in the race. Just behind, the race is really hotting up. So we have Omar Di Felice, Andre Backman, Christoph Strasser, all in hot pursuit at the moment, well into the south of Croatia. So we expect to see them moving down towards CP2 and the first off-road parkour of TCR number 10 tomorrow. A little bit further back, we've had Jana Kessenheimer move through CP1, so the leading woman on the race has now passed the first control point. She seemed in really good spirits, was chatting with the owner and with other diners in the restaurant as well. So I think there's high spirits indeed, both like seemingly pleased with her performance, but also relaxed and excited for what's to come next as she moves into less familiar terrain. Leading pair Sherry and Gerion are now on CP1 parkour. So they have made up some serious progress over the past day and a half now. They have a very healthy lead, and I'm sure they'll be looking to press home that advantage as they pass through CP1 and start turning their wheels towards Bosnia as well.
Of course, TCR is much more than a race, and our riders embrace the challenge for a whole range of reasons. Alexandra Bourgeonnier, Cap 237, was pushing for the win and eventually came runner-up in 2015 at TCR number 3. He's back this year, almost 10 years later, with another mission in mind.
When I do my first transcontinental race in 15, it's not the same level. Really, not the same level. I was finished in second place, but now it's awful. It's awful. I stopped the bike since 18. I want to do transcontinental race to do an homage for a friend. He died in 18, and I say I want to go to Istanbul with him, and he gave me the stronger. He gave me the power, and I do it for him.
What is his name?
Is Thibaut. He was a rider, and I cannot to do an homage for him. I lost 23 kilograms since last year when I start to prepare for the transcontinental race, and my goal, my mission, it's to go to Istanbul for him. So I must to be continued.
Join us next time at TCR number 10 to see if Robin Gemperla can maintain his rapid pace and even extend his lead. Or will those behind him be able to gain ground and chase him down? It's been a blistering first few days of racing, and we're fast approaching the period of the race where anything can happen. Fatigue, mechanical issues, and pure luck can all come into play as the beautiful Balkans await. Don't forget, you can read Emma's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apajura, Komoot, and Peak Design.